Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. In my estimation, one of the most important fronts in that war, of course, is the home front. There are few people I know who have done at any age, let alone at his tender age, as much to help the rest of us understand the nature of the war we're in on the domestic front, including from people who are nominally on our side, at least nominally, and the exposing that he has done in terms of particularly what the press and some others in the elite and non-governmental organizations and the like have been doing that is really undermining our democracy and endangering all of us is incalculably important. His name is James O'Keefe. He is the founder and president of the Project Veritas and Project Veritas Action. He has two best-selling books to his credit. Well, one is an incipient best-selling book, let me say. It's just come out. The first was Breakthrough, Our Guerrilla War to Expose Fraud and Save Democracy in 2013. It was on the New York Times bestseller list, and I'm quite sure that the new one, which we will be talking about at length today, American Pravda, My Fight for Truth in the Era of Fake News, will similarly find its way onto the bestseller list. James, it's so good to have you with us. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes, actually the full hour, to talk with us about the new book, Your Fight for Truth, and the extraordinary accomplishments you've had in that regard. It's so good to have you back. Happy New Year.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Well, so I want to start with something that is very much top of mind at the moment, which is the exposing that you've done, some of which is laid out in the book, about Twitter and the big, well, sort of information technologies that are now such an important part of contemporary American public and political life. You have made, as is your wont, some extraordinary breakthroughs in exposing rather troubling behavior on the part of Twitter. James O'Keefe, talk a little bit about what you found and what it should suggest to all of us is something seriously amiss.
Well, you know, the social media companies have become the new media. They are the media. I mean, they have the ability to rewire human interactions, and they have the ability to censor language in such a way that you omit certain concepts. And we've all suspected that they're doing this. Many conservatives suggest that they shadow ban or mute people, and no one's ever really proven it. But what we do at Project Veritas is we confirm suspicions. So we went undercover into Twitter headquarters and talked to over a dozen engineers and executives who admitted how they do it, why they do it, and what they're doing. And extraordinary series of tapes have come out. The first one talked about how they can go into your DMs and give them to the Department of Justice to help the investigation into Donald Trump.
Those direct mails, yep.
Yes, and the second one admitting that the series of engineers admitting how they shadow ban, that's take information off of someone's timeline and how they are able to manipulate perception, ban a way of talking, one engineer calls it. Another executive inside Twitter by the name of Olinda Hassan on the Trust and Safety, the Orwellian-sounding Trust and Safety Council, she says they want to ban what she calls crappy people from Twitter, and they don't exactly define who these people are. So more abstractly, there's a lot of discussions going around about how these companies have become sort of monopolies, purveyors of information. And they may not believe that they are, in fact, media companies, but of course they're media companies. And they are the new trusts, the new oil trusts from 100 years ago. So someone, I'm not suggesting the government regulate them. Maybe there's another free market solution. But at the very least, they need to make their algorithms public. And the last video that we released showed executives at Twitter talking about how they have hundreds of engineers who go in and look at your private text messages, you know, Twitter direct messages they're called, and you your private pictures of your private parts, which I don't put that stuff online, but many people communicate with their wife and girlfriend. So you have this sort of perverted aspect too. And it's just confirming what we've all believed. And it's pretty amazing footage, and we're just getting started to do more. But there's a lot to unpack there and what it all means.
Yeah, and that's where I'd like to go next, James O'Keefe. You're describing an unregulated entity that has the ability to both censor and expose private information being exchanged by individual users. This is unfortunately not unique to Twitter. There is evidence that similar things are being done by Google and by Facebook. I don't know that they call them the Trust and Safety Council, but you're right, that does sound Orwellian. But its job is to purge information that is deemed to be, for whatever reason, politically incorrect, I guess is one common one. Things that they don't approve of, crappy people and the like. Some have suggested we're crappy people, so this is of particular concern to me and those of us who are warning about, you know, Sharia supremacism, for example. What have you learned about the algorithms or the methodologies or the kinds of filters that are being applied here?
Well, in the second video, the engineer, this is an Indian guy on H-1B1 visa. He works at Twitter, and his name is, it's not Mo Murai, it's there's a guy named Abhinu Vadravu who talks about shadow banning. You can sort of turn off all the features for them, so they can still see everything. You can like it, you can favorite it, or you can like retweet, but at the end of the day, no one else interacts, no one else sees what you're doing, so all that data is just thrown away. And he confirms that this was actually done. He says, you know, I don't work at Twitter anymore. He says, I don't know if they still do that. But he confirms that it was done. Another engineer on the Twitter direct messaging team talks about how there's sort of weights and measures assigned to each the words that are associated with tweets. So you have Pranay Singh at Twitter who talks about how if you're tweeting about God or about cross or about the American flag, these algorithms can assign key measures. Think of them like scales, so like 0.5 for one word and one and numerical values that will weigh the information differently. So that if you tweet about, say, the American flag, Twitter engineers may more increasingly likely to consider you to be a Russian bot. Now, of course, many people are not Russian bots who tweet about the American flag, but according to the people in Silicon Valley, they've set up the computer algorithms in such a way that they will necessarily consider to be a Russian bot. That may seem unbelievable, but it's admitted in the tape by the engineer himself.
Yeah. No, you know, it's so interesting that you say this, because just today, James O'Keefe, there was a report on National Public Radio in which they talked about the fact that Russian bots were amplifying, promoting, pushing, otherwise manipulating the whole campaign to release the memo. That is to say, the memo the House Intelligence Committee did ultimately release with the president's approval last week. And, you know, when the interviewer drilled down a little bit, it was pretty clear they weren't entirely sure how much Russian botting was going on here, and acknowledged sort of reluctantly that actually a lot of it was American people. Maybe 15% was Russian bots, they calculated. This is a reporter from Politico who broke this story. But it just does raise the question, how much of this is being manipulated or manufactured or otherwise misrepresented by Google or Twitter or Facebook engineers, completely unaccountable to their users or the public more generally?
Yes, they are completely unaccountable, which is why I think they need to release some of these algorithms and make them public. You know, they are private companies, they can do what they want, but they have to be accountable to their own user interface.
Hey, James, hold the thought because we're going to come back to that. But in fact, they benefit from certain favorable treatment by the government. And I think there is an argument that they should be more accountable. We'll be right back with more with James O'Keefe in this very special interview with the author of the brand new and very important book, American Pravda, My Fight for Truth in the Era of Fake News. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.